Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We come back once again to that very controversial and difficult subject of divorce. It is not easy to figure out all the twists and turns in that particular subject as found in the Bible. And yet, it is important to do so because it is, well, it's a huge issue. And as you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is dealing with questions relating to marriage. And of course, one of those questions relates to divorce. What about ending marriages? What about regulations for divorce? And that becomes part of the bigger picture, the overall picture of marriage questions, of which there are quite a few. And Paul addresses several of them that have been given to him. But this one relating to divorce, or these, maybe I should say, these several questions relating to divorce, are the ones that we are focusing on at the moment, and praying that the Lord will help us to be accurate and clear in this matter that is so confusing to so many. And so we will continue where we left off yesterday. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, October 1. And please don't forget that we cannot do this without your financial help. The questions regarding divorce begin, as you recall, in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 7. In verses 10 and 11, Paul addresses divorce among believers. I'll read the verses, make a couple of quick comments by way of review, and then move on. But he says in verse 10, "Now to the married I command, yet not I the Lord, or not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife." So there are instructions given to believing marriages, that is, where both husband and wife are believers, that are somewhat different from the ones that Paul gives next in the case of mixed marriages. But in the case of marriages where both husband and wife are believers, the standard is very high. The basic command is no divorce. And in those cases where the marriage becomes so painful that one or the other leaves, and that word leaves could include a divorce, which shouldn't have been entered into, but it may have been. And if that's your situation, you are a believer, your spouse is a believer, but you have ignored these instructions and have gotten divorced, then the instructions are still pretty high. Namely, you now have two options: either remain single the rest of your life or be reconciled to your spouse. The wording here is particularly for a woman to be reconciled to her husband, but then the follow-up statement that says, "And a husband is not to divorce his wife," seems to include basically the same command the other way around. A husband is not to divorce his wife, that is, a husband is not to leave his wife, should not depart from his wife, and if for some reason that command is not obeyed and there is a separation, which could include a divorce, then he must remain single or be reconciled to his wife. High standard. And I take it from what I'm gathering, what I'm assuming from this command is that the instruction to remain single serves to make people think long and hard before they even separate. Separation may seem like the desirable option until you realize that the Bible does not give you permission to remarry. So think it through long and hard. Are you willing to remain single for the rest of your life? If your marriage relationship is so difficult that singleness would be preferred, then in that case, separation, and again, I'm assuming that includes divorce, that the statements are not absolutely clear on that subject, and some would argue against that, and I can't really prove that that's what Paul is saying. I'm assuming that that's included, but if the marriage is so painful that separation and singleness for the rest of your life is better than staying married, okay, that is an option. But remarriage is not an option. That's the standard for divorce as it relates to believers. But as you recall from previous broadcasts, there is a different instruction for divorce in the situation of a mixed marriage, and that's verses 12 through 16. And now I'll read that and quickly review what we've already covered. But to the rest, that is to the other situation, that's not a marriage between two believers, and the only other possibility, since one of them has to be a believer and even be hearing these instructions, he can't be talking about two unconverted people who are outside the church and are not going to even know anything about the scriptures and not know anything about this epistle. But to the rest, to those of you in the church that are in a mixed marriage, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? In the case of mixed marriages, the issue about whether or not divorce is permitted, actually, and we would say strangely at first glance, but the issue lies in the hands of the unbeliever. The Christian is not permitted to divorce his unbelieving spouse. The Christian cannot initiate divorce, but if the unbeliever initiates divorce, then the Christian is, what do I say? Can I say the Christian is allowed to divorce? But of course, the Christian in that situation didn't have any option. The spouse divorced you. So it's not a matter of whether you are allowed to divorce your spouse, or to put it another way, are allowed to become divorced from your spouse, because of course you had no choice in the matter. If the unbeliever departs, Paul says, let him depart. Don't drag them, don't lasso them, don't fight with them about it. Clearly, you should do everything you can to encourage them to stay, but don't fight with them about it. That's the import of those words. The Lord has called us to peace, you see. I'm looking now to find that up. Here it is, verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So don't wrangle and fight about it endlessly and say, no, no, you can't divorce. No, no, you can't leave. Paul says, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. So the first instruction is, let him go, or her, let them go. Don't wrangle about it. Don't fight about it. Don't make it a lifelong warfare. And it further says, a brother or sister is not in bondage in such cases. Now, that's the phrase that tripped me up for a number of years, but I think I have clarity on it now. And a brother or sister is not in bondage in such cases. That part, of course, is addressed to the believer. If the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not in bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. In other words, if the unbeliever divorces you, then you are free to remarry. That's the big issue. It doesn't actually use that terminology. If the unbeliever divorces you, then you are eligible for remarriage. But I'm confident that that's the meaning of what Paul is saying. The Christian must not initiate a divorce. A Christian should not desire a divorce. But if the unbeliever does desire and initiate a divorce, then you must let them go, and now you are free. Now you are free to marry a believer, only a believer. The mixed marriage situation, as we've already pointed out, comes about because these are people who were married when both of them were unbelievers, and one of them has now become a Christian. So that's how it came about. You will never have a mixed marriage among with a Christian and the non-Christian if the Christian is obedient to the Lord prior to the marriage. In other words, the scripture is clear that a believer is not to become unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Or to put it another way around, a believer is not to marry an unbeliever. And that's even said in this very chapter, where he comes down to the end, and he says, a wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes. But there's a restriction on that phrase. She's free to be married to whoever she wishes, only in the Lord. That is, she's free to be married to whoever she wishes as long as they are a Christian. That's always the standard for Christians. Christians are allowed to marry believers only, and anything else is disobedience. God requires believers to choose a believing spouse. But if both of you are unsaved, and then one becomes a Christian, and the other says, I didn't marry a Christian, I can't live like this. I can't live with a Christian. This is so contrary to my lifestyle, to the way our lives were before you became a Christian. That's not what I committed to, and I'm sorry, but I just can't live this way. You can understand how that could come about. I feel like I've been cheated. My spouse is not the person I married, and I therefore am going to leave. And in that case, divorce is permissible, and remarriage is also permissible. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.